Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today on the journey. Roger, we have been looking at an old hymn throughout the month of November. On Fridays, we thank thee, O Father. We would encourage our listeners to stay tuned on the back end of this episode. We'll play a congregational recording of that hymn. A couple of weeks ago on Friday, we looked at the good seed. This past Friday, by God's almighty hand, and today we want to talk about harvest time.
Absolutely. That will take us to the third verse of this song. As we remembered as we began this, this is an old German farming song, and it is very rural in its concept. And we have other songs like that. We have the song, Are You Sowing the Seed in the Kingdom? Bringing in the Sheaves is another really old farming song. But the principle of sowing and harvesting is found throughout the scriptures. And so this third line of this great hymn says, We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer, for all thy love imparts, and what thou dost desire are humble, thankful hearts. And so that's the third line. And what that's going to bring to our mind today is, first of all, the two times he mentions, the seed time and the harvest time. And there's an order implied there, and we understand that naturally. If you don't sow the seed, you're not going to harvest anything. You know, the farmer that's sleeping through the spring and doesn't sow any corn, well, he doesn't go out there in October and harvest corn because there's not going to be any corn. You got to sow it if you're going to harvest it. And so both of those concepts are found there. Now, when we think about seed time, we think about anticipation. We think about what's coming down the road. The farmer doesn't put the seed in the ground just because he likes putting seed in the ground. He's doing this anticipating what's going to come out of that ground. I'm going to sow some corn, and I'm looking forward to a harvest of corn. So the seed time is hope and optimism and future. He's anticipating something good coming out of his efforts. We're going to look at that spiritually as we think about the same thing. The reason why we do a lot of things in life is because of that optimism, that future. We are anticipating good coming from the efforts we put into it. But then the other time he mentions is the harvest time. That's the fulfillment. That's the blessing. That's all the labor was worth the effort now. Now I get to enjoy, and it's a realization of all the things that's come about because I put in the seed time. Now God has blessed me with a harvest time.
Like so many of the parables of Jesus, this is something that was easy to understand, but used as an understandable figure of a much greater reality in both the Old and the New Testaments. Last month, on Fridays in October, we camped in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. We focused in on this phrase, the summer is ended, but the full verse is, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Almost a lament that if it's not already too late, it is very close to being too late in the days of Jeremiah to getting this whole thing turned around. Jesus used the figure of the harvest on many different occasions. In Luke chapter 10, he appointed 72 of his disciples and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In that famous scene with the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4, as the disciples come back, he encourages them to lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And of course, he wasn't talking about crops. He was talking about people. But we see throughout the Old and the New Testaments, such an easy to understand figure, just like here in southern Indiana in November, we're seeing combines and grain trucks and all sorts of, we see harvest all around us. Roger, what do we need to understand about the harvest from a biblical point of view?
Well, the harvest is the consequences of what has been sown. And that's, I think, really what this song's going to lead us to as we think about being thankful for the Lord. But here in the book of Galatians, the apostle would say it this way, in Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7, verse 8, he would say, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." There's a direct consequence. There's a direct line drawn from what you sow to what you will reap. Now, I think a lot of people want to sow the world and pray for a crop failure. And they want to sow whatever they want to. And then somehow they think in a process that harvest is going to change. And it doesn't. There's a direct consequence. So if I'm sowing in my life attitudes of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, that harvest is going to be, people don't want to be around me. I mean, that's consequences of such actions. Now, I think there's three direct bearings that we need to look at in this concept of seed time, harvest time. One of the first ones is the raising of our families. That's a powerful, powerful responsibility God places upon this. And the seed time is when the kids are at home. The kids are small. The kids are growing up. And it's that attention I give them. It's those lessons I teach them. It's the idea of training them, the idea of having them to think about what they say before they say it. All of that is seed time that will lead to a harvest when they move out of the house and are on their own. What kind of citizens are they going to be? What kind of adults are they going to be? What kind of responsible people are they going to be? Are they even going to be walking with Jesus? There is a seed time that leads to a harvest time.
So you were in Galatians 6 earlier, the one who sows to his own flesh. And if we back up just a little in Galatians to Galatians 5, what I hear you saying is, okay, if these works of the flesh are the atmosphere that we breathe in our homes, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. There are lots of homes, unfortunately, in 21st century America and beyond, where this is the sort of stuff we entertain ourselves with. This is what we do on the weekends. This is what we allow our children to be involved in, and we turn a blind eye. Maybe we facilitate it for our children. What I hear you saying is, if these are the seeds that are sown, we ought not to be surprised that the fruit that is reaped is not a pleasant sort of fruit.
That's it exactly. How many times do we see in the news some young person arrested for robbing something or killing somebody, and there's his mom in tears saying, "He's a good boy, he's a good boy." Good boys don't shoot people, good boys don't rob people. I mean, that's a product of his environment, that's a product of not having the right parenting, and it's a consequence. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And so if I want godliness out of my children, I've got to be sowing that. I can't say, well, I'll let the schools do that. It's not the school's job. I'll let the church do that. That's really not the church's job. Church will help, but the main thing has to be in the home. I've got to turn that TV set off. We've got to have some talks. We've got to have some discussions. And this doesn't start when you're driving them to college. If that's when the first time you're having these real serious talks, it's too late. You sow that when they're 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old, and you're talking and talking and talking to them about choices and about, here's the situation. You can be the bully. You can be the mean guy. You can be the wrong guy. You can be the one who tells a lie, or you can do what's right. And you impart that, and you impart that, and you impart that. And that's something that we need to see is valuable.
Paul describes it as sowing to the Spirit, right? So the, again, backing up to Galatians 5, if we're looking for the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those don't come out of a vacuum. Those don't happen by magic or by accident. They are a result of the seeds being sown in our homes.
So I did not be, I was not able to get any apples in my backyard this year. I have lots of trees, and the reason is I have no apple trees.
Not one apple tree.
Not one apple tree. And so if I want apples, I got to have an apple tree if I want to go pick an apple off a tree. And so I can't have oak trees and expect an apple. I can't have maple trees and expect an apple. If I want apples, I got to have apple trees. That's that concept we're driving at here. And so we want our kids to be honest, hardworking, good citizens. We want our kids to grow up to be Christians. We want them to marry Christians. We want them to raise their children to be godly people. You got to sow that. If you don't sow it, it's not going to happen.
So where beyond the home might we see this same principle working itself out?
Well, we've kind of been all around it, and that's our individual lives. Our individual lives is the same thing. And Jesus would drive this point here in Matthew 13 about the parable of the sower. And the seed that fell among the good ground yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we are to be conformed to the image of God. So what God wants is for me to be like Jesus. So when someone has hurt me, I've got to think about forgiving. When there's a need, I got to think about serving. Where do all that comes from? That comes from sowing that concept in my heart. We get that by spending time in our Bibles. It's not just facts we're learning. We're not just learning the American presidents. We're not just learning where the states are on the map. We're learning life principles that changes my heart. And that heart should be reflected by these very things that God wants. So the harvest time. Harvest in my life. Am I becoming like Jesus? More and more, am I getting older and older? Is that the only thing that's happening? Or am I getting better and better because of Jesus?
I like how you started out by emphasizing, okay, this is an individual choice, right? This is how is the seed that is the Word of God interacting with my heart? And that's the real point there at the start of Matthew chapter 13 in Jesus' most foundational parable of the sower. What condition is my heart in? Is it like a path that is just trampled by all sorts of things indiscriminately all around me? Is it like rocky soil? Is it soil full of thorns? Or is it good soil? The seed, the Word of God, doesn't change. What changes is the condition of our hearts as individual human beings. And if I want to reap righteousness, if I want to reap eternal life, it matters now how individually I am living and interacting with the pure seed of the Word of God.
And I think even before that, if I want to be the type of person that God wants me to be, if I want to be a decent citizen, and we talk about our kids being that way, if I want to be an honest worker, if I want to be someone that people can depend upon, I want to be the person that is a friend to others, well, that's the choices I've got to make right now.
Yeah.
And if I'm selfish and stubborn and only thinking about myself, only caring about myself, and if all my attention is on me and I don't care about you, I don't care about anyone else, then that's going to be the harvest I get. And the harvest will be loneliness because people don't like being around a selfish person. So what you sow has benefits right now and then also into eternity.
All right, so let's talk about eternity. We know that God uses harvest as a figure even of our transition from this life to the next. We know in Matthew chapter 13, in a follow-up parable, Jesus refers to the end of the age as a harvest. So we've talked about our homes, we've talked about our individual lives. In what way is this a harvest?
This is the greatest harvest of all, because when the Lord comes and everything's gathered together, God's going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, and it's that time, what you have sown is what you become. Now, there are doctrines in the community that will teach us that that's all predetermined and it doesn't matter. We know the Bible doesn't teach that. There are those who would say, well, you know, I'm just born this way and that's just the way I am. The Bible doesn't teach this. All along, there are choices. And those choices lead to the ultimate conclusion, and that is heaven. So in Revelation chapter 7, John sees this massive multitude gathered around the throne. He says in verse 9 of chapter 7, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches were in their hands. Who is that? That's the righteous of God. That's people who have made a choice. That's why they're clothed in white. That's why their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They've chosen Jesus in this life. And now, as it got to the end of the life, at the end of all time, they are found in heaven. What you have sown becomes what you have reaped. So a life of worshiping, a life of following God, a life of righteousness leads to the ultimate conclusion, that is a life with God.
I like how in Galatians chapter 6, earlier we were in verse 8, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then it's as if the Apostle Paul looks us all in the eye in verse 9 and says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. There are a lot of farmers here in mid-November who are weary, right? From a whole lot of work that is culminating now in this harvest. And that's the figure that Paul is using. He follows it up with, for in due season we will reap if. And there is that big word if, Roger, that you alluded to earlier. This is not predetermined. This is up to us, to our choice. The Lord has made it available. We stand strong in His strength, but we must not give up.
In John chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, which all who are in their tombs will hear His voice. And will come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. What they sowed is what they become." And so that reminds us of how important it is. So today, as you go about your day, you can take on the nature of the world around you. You can take on the attitude of your coworkers. You can take upon what others are doing in a negative way. That can just become you today. Or you can say, I'm going to sow good seed today. I'm going to be reflective of Jesus today. I'm going to try to be the light of the world today. And by those choices, you're making the right thing because you realize they lead to a harvest down the road.
We thank thee, O Father. What a great note to enter into this weekend on. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. As we mentioned, in just a moment, we'll play a congregational recording of this hymn that we've been camped in all month. But we hope this episode has helped you set your mind on things above, giving you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.